This is Spray of Steam by Sidaria, a Star Wars prequel trilogy fanfic. It is rated T, and no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship Jango Fett / Obi-Wan Kenobi. Tags include alternate universe royalty, alternate universe steampunk, and arranged marriage. Summary. Journeyman engineer Prince Obi-Wan Kenobi of Coruscant finds himself confronted with an arranged marriage to Jango Fett, son of the Mandalore, in order to keep tensions between the two kingdoms from boiling into war. From my hands to yours, as promised, Obi-Wan says carefully, reverently, handing the blueprints to Madame Nu. Long thought lost when Terra Vizsla's dirigible went down 300 years ago, finding the remnants of the crash and recovering the lost Master Engineer's life work has been a pipe dream for the Jedi Order, and other, less scrupulous people, for so long. To have been the one to successfully find it on his journeyman's quest. No one can say with any truth that I don't belong in the Order now. Except Madame Nu's serious mien cracks just a touch, and not with the pleasure she displayed upon receiving his telecall the week prior, when he was most of the way back to Coruscant. No, this is... grief? Regret? Thank you, Your Highness, she says. The Council requested you report in to the Spire when you returned. Obi-Wan's heart plummets into his stomach at the term of address. I see. Please, excuse me, Madame Nu. He dips his head, royal to engineer, no matter how he wishes. The ride to the council chamber passes in a haze, Obi-Wan unable to muster the energy to look for new additions to the clockwork tower at the center of the twisting steam vader. Your Highness, echoes heavily in his ears, eclipsing everything else. Two words to shatter the future he thought finally within his grasp. He stumbles off the disc when it reaches the top of the Academy's main spire and trudges over to the double doors. Pausing before them, he breathes in, exhales slowly. If this is truly his final time to set foot in this hall, he will do it with head held high, grounded in the moment, exactly as Master Qui-Gon always urged. Obi-Wan reaches out and presses the cleverly hidden buttons that will alert the Council to his presence. Not even half a minute later, the doors swing open, granting him admittance. It is not, he notes, the full Council awaiting him. That is hardly an unusual occurrence. The counselors all have their own projects, research, fieldwork, but the presence of both Grandmaster Saw and the Master of the Order sends his heart racing. For normal concerns, only one of them need be present. Staring down both, Obi-Wan knows for certain that Madame Nu's address was prophetic. His time with the Order has ended. Another one of Father's broken promises. Journeyman Kenobi, Master Engineer Windu greets. Regret hides at the corner of his eyes, overshadowed by strain. One of the man's infamous migraines, or the result of political maneuvering. Your promptness is appreciated. Master Windu, Obi-Wan replies, ducking his head in response, trying not to let on just how much he thrills to hear the address he worked to claim, rather than the one bestowed by an accident of birth. Madame Nu implied time was of the essence. Master Saw, he adds, dipping a deeper bow to the oldest Master Engineer currently in residence. Her wrinkled face creases in a smile as she reaches out to touch the top of his head with one spindly arm, knotted about with muscles and age alike. Obi-Wan, she says gently, voice a paper-thin rasp. Despite the clear signs of time's passage, she remains as strong as always, remnants of her life's work as one of the foremost engineers of medical advancements, often building her own plans instead of consigning their creation to her many apprentices. His Majesty has sent word in your absence. She meets his gaze directly, refusing to shy away from any duty. What does His Majesty ask of the Order? Ask, as if they can deny the man in whose lands they reside, not without uprooting everything, possibly losing everything given the complicated web of alliances that have kept Coruscant the only truly neutral land in all the known world for generations untold. The return of his youngest son, to serve in a treaty marriage, Master Windu says, mouth downturned with his disapproval. Obi-Wan swallows. A treaty marriage. His greatest fear come to life. But who could he have possibly found? Mandalore, Master Saw tells him, easily guessing the turn of his thought. You are to go to Mandalore and marry Jango Fett. Mandalore. One of the few remaining lands that can be said to be hostile to Coruscant. rather than just uncaring or unconnected, a kingdom that has often enough sent raiders, plausibly deniable sky pirates in some cases, outright army squads in others, against many of the allied kingdoms over the centuries. This will be no ordinary treaty sealed with an alliance, especially not with the rumblings of war Obi-Wan has caught rumors of over the past few years. No, this is to be a peace treaty sealed with a hostage. Well, Obi-Wan swallows again. At least I just spent time learning the language. The city of Kaldabi rises from below, piercing through the fog as it comes higher, higher, higher. Obi-Wan's heard of the famous flying cities of Mandalore, but never has any outsider found so much as a scrap of a true blueprint. And now, one will be his home. It probably won't do for a hostage spouse to be caught poking about at such things. A pity, but his time with the Jedi Order means it will be taken worse than if he were a real prince who took an interest, true or feigned. The skyship spirals down towards one of the landing pads. Even with his slip of a window, Obi-Wan can count a most impressive landing party. Nothing but the best for their unwelcome guests. It's hard to shove aside the pessimism. This is your life now. Try and make the best of it. He straightens his waistcoat, grimaces at the swish of petticoats that move with it. The first thing he's going to do is find out how strict Mandalorian dress codes are, Obi-Wan decides. It might even win him some, not sympathy, exactly, but goodwill, if he chooses to dress in the local styles. Sans that fascinating armor, of course. That would also, like as not, be denied to an outsider. Besides, it's probably too heavy to just put on. They must have some sort of training regimen for it, which I will likely also not be permitted to observe, let alone participate in. And Obi-Wan sets aside his thoughts once again, breathing through the swirling emotions trying to tug him about. Grounded as he can be, he steps out of his small room, his prison cell. He has thought of it more than once over the days it took to arrive, and to keep him or his friends from plotting daring escapes before the marriage, and joins the rest of the Coruscanti party. At least I have a friend along, he reflects, managing a smile for Alderaan's junior diplomat, Bail Organa. No one else in the Jedi Order was permitted entrance to Mandalore, as has been the case ever since Master Engineer Tara Vizsla's death. I do hope they know I was in the Order. That would be an unpleasant surprise for them otherwise. Obi-Wan follows the senior diplomats off the ship, twitching his skirts up to prevent them from being caught in the gangplank. He hangs back, mingling with the aides, scanning the group waiting for them. Almost all of them are covered completely in armor. It could be a cultural statement, it might indicate distrust, or it could be that the majority of the welcoming party are guards or soldiers. His eyes linger on the handful who wear little to no armor, most prominent of whom is a blonde woman, about his own age, standing next to the person at the front of the group. I would have thought servants, except for her positioning. Drat the lack of information in the archives. And then his eyes catch on a set of armor whose paint scheme he definitely recognizes, provided it's unique. Deep green with crimson accents and two sigils, one on each shoulder. On his left, a blue skull of some sort. On the right, what looks to be a gold sprig of wheat in a circle. Obi-Wan meets the visor of the Mandalorian's helmet, unable to help the assumption that he's staring into their eyes, and tips his head in greeting to the person who nearly beat him to Tara Vizsla's dirigible. Their placement near the front tells him they're important. So hopefully they're not holding a grudge over losing the race to the crash site. Welcome to Mandalore, the man at the front says. He carries his helmet tucked under an arm, revealing a weathered face and a nose that's been broken at least once. Obi-Wan hopes he's not imagining the kindness he thinks he sees in brown eyes. I'm Mandalore Jasta Muriel. Obi-Wan lets the introduction of the Coruscant party wash past him, stepping forward to offer a curtsy when he's indicated. He hates how easily all the lessons of his childhood have come rushing back over the past few weeks, as if he never stepped away from them. Never joined the Jedi, never studied engineering. It's a simmering lump of resentment he can't quite release, one that might only grow, depending on what the Mandalorians expect of him. Minister Satine Kryze, the Mandalore says, gesturing to the blonde woman, and my son, Jango. Obi-Wan's attention crashes back to the present as he watches the familiar Mandalorian pull off his helmet, amber brown eyes fixed on Obi-Wan. Jango Fett smirks across the landing pad. We've met, he drawls. Indeed, Obi-Wan manages. Voice a little too strangled for propriety's sake. I prefer your adventuring clothes, Fett continues. But this is a good look, too. Obi-Wan's cheeks blaze with ruddy splotches of a blush as he forces himself not to glare at his fiancé, as Fett pointedly drags his gaze over Obi-Wan's figure. Delighted to hear I suit you, Alarad, Obi-Wan manages through gritted teeth. Fett steps forward to him, past the gaggle of diplomats, and offers his arm, still with that insufferable smirk. Perhaps you'll tell me about whatever you absconded with, Mandalore, Tin our oars, dirigible while we walk. Obi-Wan places his hand on that fascinating armor, bitterly resentful of the gloves that keep him from getting a feel for the metal alloy. Perhaps we can arrange a trade of information, he permits. letting Jango draw towards the ground cars waiting to convey them deeper into the flying city. Perhaps he won't have to give up everything about being an engineer after all.